Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today, and I hope that you're having a great day. It is a beautiful day as I film this, and I do stress as I film it. We are actually have been out of town, and I'm pre-recording this, so I don't know what it's going to be like when you watch this, but we'll have to be out of town over the weekend, and hopefully by the time you watch this, I'm actually back home or very close to being back home. But this is a beautiful day, but most of all, it's a beautiful day because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Our God is sovereign. He is at work. He is moving in our lives. We can trust Him, and He's given us this time to meet with Him and to grow in our relationship with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the day that You have given, Lord, this opportunity to be in Your Word. Father, speak to us. Draw us close to You. Let us know You. Lord, let us understand Your Word. Let us know Your ways, Father, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, in our life, in our living, in our experience. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come to God's Word and we look at Psalm 126, a question that we probably need to ask ourselves is, have you ever blown it? Have we ever blown it? And obviously the answer is yes. But the reality is we come into this world having blown it. We're sinners in our nature. And we've also blown it in our lifestyle and our consequences, the sins that we've committed. Thank God for His wonderful salvation He gives us through Jesus Christ, that through faith in Him we're born again as new creatures. And in fact, our sin debt is in fact paid by Christ. But then unfortunately, even as believers, we still commit acts of sin. And yet He's given us there the wonderful promise of 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, as believers, after we have sinned, and even if we have confessed it, as we see there in 1 John 1:9, it is so easy for us to think that at that point God is through with us, or that what we've done is so bad that God has written us off. We will never again experience His goodness, that we have ruined everything. Now, I won't deny the fact that sin does in fact bring consequences. God does not always undo the consequences of our sin, but God always will bring a sense of wholeness and wellness and a sense of renewed beauty from that point in our life. Yes, there may be ongoing consequences. Many times there are. I won't take away from that. We won't gloss over it. But there is a wonderful work of restoration that God will bring about. And that is the whole theme of Psalm 126. It is about Israel when they had blown it, and God has sent them into exile, and now He's allowed them to return. It is also prophetic, as it looks to the ultimate restoration of Israel, when God Himself will bring them into the land again. And their ultimate, in fact, restoration during the kingdom age when Christ reigns over them. But it's also a picture of how Christ works in our life, even after we have blown it. And so as we look at this passage, and we look to see what takes place, first thing that we need to see is the joy of restoration. Look at verse 1 through the very first part of verse 2. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Look at the joy. Look at the excitement. Look at the happiness of what God had done. Remember, these people had blown it. They had horribly blown it. They had gone into idolatry. And with idolatry was all kinds of immorality that went along with it. And then they added to that not just the rejection of God, but the rebellion against Him when He sent prophets to try to warn them. And then God disciplined them. He chastened them. God judged them. And quite frankly, you look at the nation of Israel, God is still dealing with them today. There are the consequences there. But for this group at that time, when they were brought back from the Babylonian captivity, there was this wonderful, joyful work that God had done for them, much like us. When we confess our sins, there's the forgiveness, there's the cleansing, there's the wonderful work of blessing and fullness that God gives. You think about that parable, probably for all of us, our favorite parable, or certainly one of our favorite parables that our Lord preached about, the parable of the prodigal son. When he came home, Now, don't ever overlook the fact that there were consequences to his behavior. His inheritance was gone. Okay, that, there were very real consequences. But the father took him back. He had once more a place in the home and the family. He was once more back where he was deeply, wonderfully loved. And you read that parable, you see the unmistakable joy that is there. And so there's the joy of restoration. And if you have strayed or wandered from the Lord, if you have sinned, again, we won't gloss over that or minimize it in any way. But through genuine confession, there can once more be the joy of restoration. But not only is there the joy of restoration, there's also the testimony of restoration. You think about what those around us will say when they see what has taken place in our life and the work that God does and what enables us to share about our Father and His love and His grace. You think of the latter part of verse 2 going on through verse 3. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. You think about the testimony as they had returned from the Babylonian captivity. God enabled them to return, enabled them to rebuild the temple, enabled them to rebuild the walls, enabled them to grow and prosper. And, you know, the message there was that our God did this. When people see the wholeness, the blessing upon our life, even after we have a season of having blown it, what a wonderful opportunity to say, this is of God. Yes, I sinned, but He cleansed, He forgave, He brought wholeness and wellness, He brought beauty to my life again. What a testimony. You know, you think about the prodigal son, you think about what it was like in the days, in the weeks, in the months that followed his return. You know, as he encountered people, bumped into them, you know, if you were to try to put it in contemporary terms, when he went to the grocery store or the hardware store and they, you know, they said hey to him, heard you were back home, and he would, you know, what could he say? Probably everybody knew what he had done. You know, small towns, everybody knows everything about everybody. What could he say? You know, what a wonderful father I have. I don't deserve it, but he took me back. He has poured out his love for me. I'm once more at home, and I'm in a place where I am so deeply loved. What a wonderful father I have. Isn't that exactly what we could say? The wonderful testimony of restoration. But then we also see the hunger for restoration. You might think, well, why would there be hunger? You've already experienced it. But the idea, look at verse 4. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And we read that and we think, well, that's odd. They've been restored. But the idea there is experiencing God's complete work that bears all the fruit that God wants it to, so that it can show all the beauty that God desires. The idea being that they not stop short. The idea being that we not stop short. And again, you think of the word picture there, the arid desert, dry desert that they lived in. And you think about how water will cause it to bloom and to flower. And you probably have seen time-lapse photography of a desert after a rain, how it just blossoms and how beautiful it becomes. And the idea being there, the prayer there is, God, bring the full beauty of your complete restoration. You know, we need to guard ourselves that we don't become, when we confess and God does a wonderful cleansing and forgiveness, that we're not satisfied by being merely out of the jam, so to speak, but that we allow God to bring the full beauty of His work so that it can be seen that it is His work. So again, so we can give that testimony. Look what our Father has done. There needs to be that desire, oh God, do your complete work. And then that's coupled with number 4, the promise of restoration. Look at verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with them. And again, we read that and we think, well, that's strange. They've been restored. Yeah, but you think about it. God has brought them back. But you think about all those years and those decades they've been gone. You think about any farm, field, garden that's not tended for months, years, decades. The work it takes to get it back to full productivity, back to its full beauty. You know, restoration means, you know, God's cleansing is instantaneous when we confess our sins. But many times the restoration is in fact a process that involves time and effort and discipline, work, to bring it to full maturity. Now it's all of God. He enables us to do it. He sets the stage for it to work. But many times it's in fact a process. But if we trust and obey and follow, he promises that he will bring that restoration. You know, what a wonderful promise we have. What a wonderful God we have. Our God is a God of restoration. If you have blown it, turn to him. Confess it. He will cleanse. He will forgive. He will heal. And he'll also restore. Many times over a process, but always to full beauty, as a wonderful testimony unto his wonderful grace. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are a wonderful Father. You do cleanse and forgive. Father, you do restore. O Lord, may our lives, O God, give evidence of the wonderful Father that we have. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you do go through it with the experiencing the nearness of God, his love, the beauty, and that his beauty is seen through your life as a testimony to others. And that by walking with him, you have a great day in him.